Going to look at an Old Testament text this morning about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So we have two verses. Let's read the verse we just read in Russian. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 23. This is part of the Apostle Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he's speaking about the people that crucified Jesus. It says, "Him," that is Jesus Christ, "being delivered by the determined purpose and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, and you have crucified and put to death." Of course, we know that verse 24 is what God does in response to these evil men. It says, "Him God raised up." Jesus rose again on the third day. Now, I'd like us to look very briefly today. We'll just read through Psalm 22 and look at a few points here that we have about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So please open up your Bible to Psalm 22. This is a psalm that talks about both the suffering of the Messiah and also some of the results of his suffering on a cross. And oftentimes when we read psalms, they have a dual prophecy in them, or they have two points that they are trying to make. One is for the immediate time that it is written. This is written by David during some experiences in his life, but it also looks forward many, many years, 10 centuries, 1,000 years forward, when the Messiah would be dying on a cross. And what we call this in theology is a dual meaning. It's got what we call a near or an immediate fulfillment in the life of the person, or there's a far into the future meaning for what is said. You find this very often in the prophets. The prophets would make a prophecy, and it would happen immediately, and then sometimes there's that same prophecy pertains to either Jesus Christ that would come in the future, and some of the prophecies actually looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, or for the rapture of the church, or for some of the events that will occur and that we read about in the book of Revelation. And so this psalm, Psalm 22, is one of those types of psalms. It talks about the experiences that David had, and then it also looks forward as the experiences that Jesus Christ, who actually is the author of Scripture, these are his words, and he was speaking about himself. And we'll read through most of this psalm, and then I want us to stop for just a moment on the first verse, which we'll come back to. My God, why have you forsaken me? And why are you so far from helping me and from the works of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime and you do not hear, and in the night season and I am not silent. You are holy. You sit on the throne and in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them, and they cried to you and they were delivered. They trusted in you and they were not ashamed. But me, I am a worm and no man. I am a reproach of man and I am despised by my people. All of those who see me, they ridicule me. They shoot out the lip and they shake their head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let's see if God will rescue him. Let God deliver him, since he delights in him. You are the one who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, because trouble is near and there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet, and yet I can count all my bones. They look and they stare at me, and they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, Do not be far from me. O my strength, be quick to help me and deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Because you have answered me, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the middle of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all of you offspring of Israel, because he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world will remember and will turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you, because the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over all the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship, and all of those who go down to death will bow before him, even him who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him, and it will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born because he has done this. There's a lot of prophecies in this psalm here that talk about Jesus Christ. We obviously immediately recognize the prophecy of the soldiers that nailed Jesus to the Christ, dividing his garments and casting lots from them. And yet this was a prophecy that was fulfilled in the plan of God. This is a demonstration of God's word being true. And God's word coming to pass 1,000 years after it was prophesied. We have a description here of his hands and his side being pierced. The water flowing is an indicator here in this text in verse 14 of the spear that went through the side of Jesus. When you study an account of crucifixion, and there's many stories and many physicians that have written about crucifixion, when a person was hung on a tree, basically the entire weight of his body would be depressed. And the reason they would put a spike in the feet of the people that were nailed to the cross down on the bottom, in addition to the hands that were tied to the crossbeam, was because the lungs would collapse and you could not breathe while you were hanging on the cross, and your total weight of your body would depress and would press on your heart, and you would literally die because you could not take a breath. You would choke to death, or you would be asphyxiated and the oxygen would not go to your brain. You would lose consciousness and then eventually die. And so they would drive a spike into your feet. And so the person hanging on a cross, despite the terrible excruciating pain, could push up with his feet and take a breath and then sink down again. It was a terrible excruciating death that the worst of humanity dreamed up. It was among the Romans. It was a cruel way to die. And yet, despite all this, they would often beat the prisoners or the people that were on the cross. You remember that when they came and they wanted to break the knees of the two thieves that were on either side of Jesus. It wasn't because they were cruel to them and they just wanted to cause more pain, although breaking your knees is very painful. But the reason they would do that is to hasten the death. Sometimes people would hang on a cross for several days in agony and in pain, cursing, screaming to the people that were causing this to them, cursing God, screaming to God. In Isaiah, we read the prophecy that despite everything, Jesus, as a sheep, was quiet when they led him to the cross. But if you remember the prophecy that when they came to Jesus, Jesus had already died. And it wasn't because his heart had stopped beating, but because he, as God himself, had control over his life. And remember his last words to his Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus Christ willed. He knew exactly the moment of his death. He created his own death. He gave himself as a sacrifice for us. And he gave his life into the hands of his heavenly Father. And so when the soldiers came to break his knees, there was no need for that. And this prophecy, 1,000 years before Jesus Christ, describes this and says that not one bone in his body was broken. When it says, I can count all my bones, it means that in the original language, none of them were broken. What an amazing prophecy through the Holy Spirit of God. There's many things we could talk about in this psalm, but let's go back to verse 1 and concentrate on this one thought for just a moment. When we read Isaiah 53 and it talks about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God on the cross, we talked about this in Bible Hour a little bit. It says God has poured out on him his wrath. All of our sins were put upon Jesus Christ. Sin separates people, humanity. Every single one of us is a sinner. Sin separates us from God. When Jesus was hanging on a cross, it was dark. As you read the epistles, it says there was darkness from noon until the moment when Jesus died. There was phenomenon in the sky and earthquakes, and there were things that were unexplainable. But God could not look at his son on the cross and see all of our sin on him. And so scripture tells us God turned away from his son. And this was the only time in eternity. God is eternal. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is eternal. This is the only time in eternity that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had fellowship with his heavenly Father broken or interrupted. Jesus on the cross was separated from his heavenly loving Father. The only begotten, the beloved Son of God, had no fellowship with his Father at that moment. That is the separation that awaits every sinner that is not reconciled to God in the lake of fire. You will spend eternity forever and ever and ever with no end suffering the anguishes and experiencing the wrath of God that Jesus Christ bore for you on the cross. Jesus already experienced it for you. And when Jesus Christ was separated by our sin that he bore on himself with his heavenly Father, he cries out, as you remember, and he says, my God, my Father, why have you forsaken me? It's not because Jesus did not know. This was the plan of God before the creation of the world. Jesus knew when he was coming down to earth, when he took on the flesh of that baby and he grew up and then he ministered 3.5 years in Israel. Jesus knew what awaited him. This was not like a surprise for him that he got nailed to the cross. We read Jesus, he resolutely turned his eyes to go to Jerusalem. He was walking towards his death. He was walking up the hill. Jerusalem is on the highest mountain in Israel. Jesus was going up there. And up on that top of that hill was the cross that he would be crucified on. This was no surprise for Jesus. But yet at that moment of anguish, Jesus cries out. Jesus experienced what every sinner will experience that does not come to Jesus Christ. Jesus bore it for us. And God offers it to you today. That's what we're going to celebrate today, the blood and the body of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. God offers it to us. Jesus already bore it all. My prayer today is that these words would just grip you so that there would not come a time in your life in a lake of fire when you will experience and have to say the same thing. Why am I forsaken and separated from God? When with the rest of us, you can be in the presence of God, enjoying and glorifying and praising God for what he has done for us. So may God bless his word. Amen.